It is Tuesday, September 11th, and it's time now for Campus Connection. I have school officials here joining me in the studio to talk about what's going to be happening at tonight's school board meeting. Superintendent Erica Kluepainter and Board President Marla Tomsky. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Angel. How's it going today for you?
It is going well.
Doing great.
Okay. So first, I just want to remind folks that the meeting tonight is at 6 p.m., which is a little different. Is this the second meeting that it's at 6 or the first?
It'll be the first.
First one? Okay.
Nice.
So 6 p.m., and that's going to be the way it's a permanent change.
Permanent change until it, for some reason we need to change it again, but permanent from here on out. Mm-hmm.
And that's to allow for students and parents to participate if they choose. Having it a little bit earlier in the evening.
Mm-hmm. The 7 o'clock meeting time was great for the start of it, but as the meeting went on, it would get pretty late. And if the student's presentation was later in the meeting, if there were large committee reports or large administrative reports, sometimes that would push the kids to being there really past 8 o'clock, and that's just a little bit too late for families. So we want to be kid-focused. That's why the school board is here. And we want them to be able to participate, so moving it back to the 6 o'clock hour is a little bit more reasonable for activities and kids getting a good bedtime and homework.
Okay, well, KFSK will still broadcast the meeting for folks who can't make it there but want to stay informed. We'll be starting that at 6 o'clock. Looking at the agenda for tonight, it doesn't seem like there's a ton for the school board to be voting on necessarily, under new business or old business, but there's a few presentations that will be, one is about assessment tests that happened already in the spring, and then the other one is an update for ESSA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you say it, the acronym ESSA?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
So okay, so should we talk about PEAKS first?
Sure, and I heard a little overview that Julie did this morning on the radio about that too, which was a nice little, just kind of a little summary. About it, this is the second year that we've done this this assessment, and I think she reported that earlier that our students, you know, did well above the state average on the assessments, but still, you know, lots of areas for improvement, and that's how we look at all assessment, you know, data. So, and it's one piece, so it was nice to have a little bit to compare it to. It's been a few years after the AMP test. This assessment is a little different from other ones in the sense that it's, you know, it's one time a year. It's sort of meant to measure, you know, kind of that year of growth, which can be a little bit daunting to kids to take the test, and also, you know, even for parents and teachers and that sort of thing too, because it's, you know, it's that one time sort of snapshot. So that's why it's one piece, you know, of assessment about to help us understand how kids are learning and growing. It's also not a tool really to use for specific instructional, you know, improvement, because it's a broader, you know, brush. So we do utilize the MAP testing, and then of course just all the daily kinds of things that teachers do with kids, the quick checks, you know, to make sure that they're getting what they need, and which are actually sometimes most important just on a daily basis. So growth overall as a state, which was good to see. I think that was important. There was, you know, not huge leaps and bounds. You don't get from one place to the other, you know, in one year. But I think overall it was nice to see some upward trajectory, you know, as a state with the assessment, and then as a district as well, overall. So, you know, that was good.
Yeah, that's good. So PEAKS is the statewide assessment. Mm-hmm. So school districts can, it's kind of an accountability thing for the state.
It is. Yep, exactly. And that actually just leads into the rest of the conversation about ESSA, which is the Every Student Succeeds Act, which replaced No Child Left Behind, which some of us have now been around long enough to remember when we implemented that. And then now we're moving to this different sort of overarching plan, which the focus of ESSA, not that No Child Left Behind wasn't focusing on kids and learning and providing quality education for them, but the focus really of ESSA is about looking at equity in education as well, and really making sure, and that achievement gap, but really focusing on making sure that all kids in all subgroups as well, you know, really do make growth. And that is, we as educators would look at that, but as a measure, I mean, to make sure that we are really reaching all kids, that you don't just say, well, you know, Petersburg does above average all the time, and that's awesome, and that's true, it is awesome. But there are always kids, you know, that that we need to work harder to reach. So I think it's important to make that. And that is the focus of ESSA. So
I remember when No Child Left Behind came on the scene, and it seemed like people saw it as testing, mm-hmm. testing, standardized tests, and yeah. reaching and teaching for the test. And yeah. there was kind of, you know, some negative feedback
yeah.
when it came on the scene. Does ESSA seem a little bit different to you in that way?
There are still pieces of that accountability, which, again, we need to have. I mean, that's part of our job, and we do, you know, we utilize public funds, and we have responsibilities, and, of course, we should. There is a measure of that accountability that does need to be there. And if we aren't reaching kids, we should be concerned about why we're not, you know, reaching them. So, but I do think they've broadened it, you know, it's changed a bit more from the kind of the compliance, you know, hammer, which is sort of what people felt like with No Child Left Behind a bit, you know, that kind of morphed into the times of, you know, people stop quitting recess times. And I mean, it really kind of morphed into something that I don't think they ever really intended, but it was not good. I'm happy to say that did not happen here, you know, in Petersburg, and it didn't happen in a lot of communities because there's also a ton of research out there about all those kinds of things too. You don't pull activity, you know, from kids and expect them to do better on a test. You know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Cramming more into the same amount of time, you know, without all the things that we already know create well-rounded education for children, including arts and activity and music and all those kinds of things. So happy to say that's not where we went, you know, here as a district over the years. So people could certainly understand and see that that was not just about a number. And yeah.
So with ESSA, there's not more testing separate from mm-mm. what the school's already doing, say with the PEAKS test for the state assessment. The ESSA is just kind of the federal law that's mm-hmm. trying to keep track of the nation.
Yes, exactly. So each state also under that, which was different a little bit than No Child Left Behind, also was able, and Alaska's state was, Alaska's plan was just approved really just this summer and really finalized really this summer. So each state had to submit their own plan of how they were going to meet, you know, all these federal guidelines, which that document is quite large, but the state's document is much more readable, and it is on the Department of Education website if people do want to see it. And actually there is a lot of, you know, good information in there about how they arrived at different things, and again trying to focus on that equity piece for kids and the achievement gap, because there is one in our state. So you know, we need to be concerned about all kids in our state and all kids in our district, and looking at any student who's not making the growth, you know, that they need to be. So and then putting the resources there, which is what our board does too, approves that. So,
in terms of kind of keeping track of individual students, and you kind of, I think, mentioned it when we were talking about PEAKS earlier, PEAKS being the statewide assessment test, but the school district also does separate testing more regularly, not the one big shot right. in the spring for the state, but you have another program that's testing students throughout the year, and it's very kind of focused on their individual progress,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep, and Mark could probably yep. speak to that as a parent, too.
And so MAPS is going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it
is. I know
at least in the elementary school and I believe in the middle school mm-hmm. at least as well.
It is.
And the thing that I like about MAPS, and even my boys come home and tell me about it, is that the test changes with their answers. So mm-hmm. it can read, the test can understand their level. So if they're answering all of the questions, boom, 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 it'll level up for them and it'll get harder, so that it really gives a clear picture of their, what they can achieve. And if the test questions start out too high, then it can level down for those students as well. And so that the teachers then get that information back and can pinpoint, you know, individuals as, okay, this mm-hmm. child is reading at a third grade level, but his math skills are at a fourth grade level, or, you know, vice versa, anywhere on those, on that range. So I really enjoy listening to the boys come back and tell me about how the test changed, and then all of a sudden it was just too hard. And so I knew that it wasn't just going to be a test that would just test the basics, that it would really kind of gauge where they're at individually. And I like that we do that test far more than I like PEAKS testing.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people feel that way.
And then how often does that happen?
That's three times a year.
That's
the recommendation for that as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because you do see, there are different ways to do it. And some places do it twice a year with kids that are older. And we've actually talked a little bit about that in our district, about doing it that way as well. But the younger kids, there is so much learning that takes place. And it's nice for the kids to see how they are doing too, because they are working hard and they're also young. So their attention, to that, like if you do something in September, it's nice for them to see how they're doing a couple, 3 months later rather than 7 or 8 months later, because that's kind of one of the things that people don't love about one summative assessment in the spring, like PEAKS. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't even get the results on those until August. So even we as educators, it's difficult. Kids have graduated, moved on. I mean, so it's always a little bit tricky, that part. But, I understand the need for that, to have a measure. I understand that, and I think that, and it is important, and we certainly treat it as an important part of our process. But it's one piece. It's not super helpful, I don't think, to parents. It's not super helpful to kids as far as their learning, and kids can look at the map results and see areas of strength and areas that they can work on. And they know them. Kids know. They know lots of things. So.
Okay. All right. Well, that kind of gives people an idea probably of where PEAKS is with this district. Mm-hmm. It's like you say, it's one piece of the puzzle for assessing students.
And mm-hmm. Exactly. And the nice thing with MAP, actually another piece of a conversation about MAP that I just came back from meetings last week in Juneau, and we did have a meeting with the Commissioner of Education and he in Alaska, and he was, we were talking about the assessments, and one of the things that does frustrate staff members sometimes, and sometimes kids and parents too, is that idea, okay, we do a MAP three times a year, then you have, PEAKS on another 3 days, and then, in the high school, then you have ACT and pre-ACT and SAT and WorkKey. There's a lot of different kinds of assessments out there, and so trying to keep that in perspective. But also, there was a question when AMP failed. A lot of us were on some committees and things at the state level trying to figure out, is there a way that you could utilize, for example, MAP or something similar, and have that become your state measure, if you can add in things that create a summative piece so that you can measure growth over time. But anyway, long story short, Nebraska has done that. They are actually doing it this year. And at the time, 3 or 4 years ago, when we were working through all this and ended up ultimately with PEAKS, but MAP was not capable of doing it, just the system itself, they didn't have the capacity to do it. So now they do. And so they're doing it. Nebraska's kind of the first state to pilot that. And they're working with their, and there are national standards, so they're able to, I think there's a case to be made that we may be able to move that direction, which I think would help kids see a lot of value, parents too, and certainly teachers who are interested in the information, but it takes 3 more days, so it's just always that instructional struggle. We all know that it's important. It's critical to know how our kids are doing, but it takes a lot of time,
Is MAP popular in the state for other school districts?
Mm-hmm. And that's a nice thing about it, too. I think 50 or 51, we may have even become 51, I'm not sure, but out of 54 districts use it already currently in the state. But the nice thing about MAP as well is that it's not just a state thing. So it's actually, it's bigger than here. So I think that's why it's gaining some traction, and also because across the nation it could become something that people could use that teachers and students and parents might find more useful, plus it would, hopefully satisfy an accountability need, at the federal
statewide,
level.
Statewide.
Yeah,
federal.
And statewide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we will wait and see if that happens.
Yeah, so it's kind of exciting. actually.
Anything else that you think might be of interest to listeners about tonight's meeting besides what we've talked about?
Well, our enrollment's up, which is nice to hear. Yeah, we were a little leery about that, you know, just looking at the numbers of kids graduating and the numbers of kids coming in and kind of hearing some things about kids that were leaving. That's how small towns are. You can actually kind of pinpoint families that are moving on. But we've actually, we're looking fairly close to where we were last year at the end of the year, which is really good news because, you know, we always budget.
Far less, yeah.
Always budget far less. So, you know, but I mean, we base it on what we think we're actually going, you know, within reason, but, it's always, it's kind of a crapshoot, you know, in the end. And so, yeah, we're looking really close to where we were. So about, I could be anywhere between 460 and 465, which is about where we were last year. So it's really, that's really good news. That gives us a nice buffer for the areas that we had decreased. You know, we really pretty much, we didn't zero out supply budgets, but very close. And, you know, things like that, you just kind of go down the list that way. So looked at facility budget. Reduced and technology and all that, so potential to put some money back toward those things as well, which is typically what we've done if we have to look at the budget again, so in the winter. So it's good news.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, sounds good. Excuse me. Oh, frog in my throat. Just another reminder to listeners that the meeting will be at 6 tonight. Yes. It'll start at 6, not 7. It's been 7 for so many years, and
yeah,
it'll be 6 tonight, and it'll be broadcast on KFSK.
I think it was also just to note, I mean, just also to reminder, I know there was things on the radio today, but there's been a lot of conversation in the district always on this date on September 11th. Just a, you know, just an acknowledgement of this date, this historical date. It's a, I think it just still kind of brings people to a really difficult place, you know, to think about. So, yeah, just an acknowledgement of lost lives on that day.
It's really impossible to say the date. Yeah. You know, I say it on the air, and mm-hmm. it's really, you can't really say the date without mm-hmm. it bringing that up.
It really does. That was my first year here. I mean, I literally remember exactly where I was standing.
I remember
that.
Where I was.
Yep. My first,
exactly.
First year here as principal. It was terrible. Anyway.
Yeah.
So just wanted to say that.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And thanks for joining me today. We'll see you tonight at the meeting.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And stay tuned. Ross Nanook III is here to host Street Beat this afternoon. That's coming up.